Talk about getting revenge on your filthy, cheating husband.
Wow, okay. I mean, sounds like I'm definitely going to get both sides of this story.
This woman took out a full-page ad in her local newspaper, publicly humiliating her husband for being, and I quote, a dirty cheater.
Okay.
She wrote, "Dear Steve, I hope you're happy with her," in the ad. And it says, "Now the whole town will know what a filthy cheater you are." From Jenny, P.S., "I bought this ad using your credit card."
Well, at least it's funny. She's having a little bit of fun with it. You know, do you think anybody in town cares? Like, I think that, you know, you raise your eyebrows, you discuss it that day. But if you did business with Steve, right, if you have interactions with Steve, if he takes the kids to Little League or whatever, next week, you're still going to talk to him. It's not going to matter, right?
But it'll sting. Has anybody ever done anything to get revenge on you when you after a breakup or whatever?
Well, my first wife, despite the fact that we had three vehicles and one of them was, you know, perfectly safe, a great running Honda Accord, she decided that she was going to take my Mustang convertible. And then it mysteriously lit on fire within a week of her taking it.
Were you cheating on her?
No. Okay. As a matter of fact, I would argue that she was the one with most of the problems. Of course, she would probably say something like that, too. It was me that filed. Let's put it that way.
She lit your car on fire.
Yeah. She says it all happened by accident. She said that through a third person, a mediator, basically, with the court. Mm-hmm. But that was the story.
So what happened afterwards? Nothing?
Yeah. They didn't give me anything for that. I ended up giving her the other car anyways. But, you know, that's the funny thing about divorce. You do one of two things. You dig in just to be spiteful. Usually it's not that you actually need the items. I mean, child support, all that stuff, that's something different. Of course, you have to have those things and those things should be provided. But like when you're fighting over, you know, who gets the family dog, who's going to take the coffee table, who gets your grandmother's hutch or whatever. Obviously, that's not a real thing. That's just people fighting because they're angry. Then you get the other person who's just like, whatever it takes to walk away from this, I'm willing to give it up.
Yeah, I had the opposite because I had two guys accuse me of being a cheater because I was dating both of them at the same time. The tale of the two J's.
Yes.
Yeah, there was two J's. I was dating both of them. Very hard to date two guys named Jay at the same time, for the record.
I mean, easy for, you know, writing things down. And if you want to make little, like, you know, bubble scratch doodles and stuff like that, you can just put Anna plus Jay.
Right.
Yeah. But it wasn't an issue.
But I don't understand why they got so mad, because I had been I was in a long-term relationship. I got out of the relationship. It was like a month after I had broken up with this guy. And I was casually dating both of them. And both of them, I don't know what they thought. Like, they must have thought I was like just belonged to them only. I was exclusive. I was not. Like, I didn't want to tell Jay or Jay that there was some other people too that I was talking to on the side. And then they both were talking to each other, figured out that they were both dating me. And they both confronted me together. And it was the strangest thing because I don't know what they expected me to say. But I was like, I'm 20. Like, I don't know. I just, like, we were just going out on dates. I thought we were just having fun and hanging out with friends.
Bye, boys.
Yeah. I don't know if that, I mean, I guess that could have been worse. They could have taken out a full page ad in the paper about it.
It would have just brought you more dates at that age.
It would have been signed J&J.
There's no such thing as bad publicity when you're in college.
Why is it trending? Biggest things trending and why? Elvis is trending, Raven.
Oh, I love that guy. Why not? Sexy man, sexy man.
I saw this and I was so confused by the whole thing. So this week marks the 45th anniversary of his death, right?
Oh, okay. Well, sad news. I wasn't thinking about that.
But no, it's the ultimate Elvis tribute artist. Okay. It's a contest that they do. Not to be confused with the regular Elvis Artist Tribute Contest, which happened in June.
Okay.
There's two of them.
Yeah.
One is the ultimate Elvis Tribute Artist. The other one is just the regular Elvis Tribute Artist.
I'm going to go out on a limb here and say that there's probably more than two. I mean, I've been to Vegas a lot of times. It seems every time I go, there's something going on with Elvis. What are they doing for impersonations during his death anniversary, right?
Did he die
on the toilet?
Well, according to an article that came out 2 days ago,
He
was just spotted in a movie and he's not dead anyway.
Oh, no. I have a picture of him somewhere in my phone right now. I'll tell you right now, I saw Elvis in Las Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to get you that photo.
All right. So here are some of the people that entered and competed.
Pretty good. How's his hips work? Can he gyrate?
Yeah. They all gyrated.
Okay.
I mean, I feel like that's like one of the prerequisites to be able to enter the ultimate Amen. Elvis artist tribute contest.
I mean, yeah. That guy sounded pretty good, though.
Yeah.
No. Nope. Not for me.
Why do you think that you can be a judge?
That one doesn't do it for me.
It's funny, though, because I was like comparing the two contests, the ultimate Elvis artist tribute and yes. then the regular one.
Okay.
And in this one, the one that just happened over the last couple of days that's trending, it was the former bodyguard that was one of the judges. But the other one was like a former jeweler. And I feel like, do they just reach the point where it's like, did anybody even know Elvis?
Yeah.
Did you know him?
Did you ever meet him?
You met him once?
Did you serve him waffles?
Come here.
Right.
You're coming to Graceland. I just wonder, like, how much money can you possibly make by being an Elvis impersonator in this day? Because I feel, how much? Who's still hiring you?
Yeah.
Who's hiring you at this point?
In Las Vegas, I mean, again, there's still plenty of work out there. I mean, Binion's, Tropicana, Legends Show, they all do an Elvis impersonator. Every one of them has got somebody that's around. I mean, Fremont Street, it's every night, and there's three or four Elvises down there.
But when is it going to be over? Huh. Like, if I see an Elvis impersonator, I'm not like, I want to be like a Lady Gaga impersonator.
Okay.
Like, don't you think like that's more fun? You get to wear costumes. You're relevant. Like wow. You could actually meet her.
I mean, there's always money to make is all I'm saying. Tell that to the person wearing the SpongeBob SquarePants outfit at Times Square.
Okay.
Like, I mean, there's somebody in there that is paying their mortgage or their rent based off the photos that they're getting there.
If you could be an impersonator, who would it be?
Wow. I mean, Elvis is a great one.
You Elvis can't be Elvis.
But wow.
We can't be
Elvis.
You know
what? You said that so quickly as if there was nothing that I could offer that Elvis brought to the world, that there's nothing that I could channel the king in me.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
So who's it going to be? You don't even know.
You took out my favorite one.
Well.
I mean, I can't move like Michael Jackson.
No.
And, is there any need for like a Kurt Russell impersonator? For movies or, you know, right? I mean, Bruce Willis is gone now. He's not going
to
be making movies, you know? I don't know.
I tapped out. You got to think about it.
I'm tapped out. I'm sorry.
Well, it's definitely not Elvis.
You know, when you say that like that, it's really hurtful.
That's all I need to know about you.
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 What's that thing that's driving you crazy right now? 1-800-330-9999. You just have to fill in the blank. If you're blank, that's all I need to know about you. Anthony.
If you're riding your bike like it's a Tour de France on a busy street, that's all I need to know about you.
The guy with the full spandex. The helmet that I like that's pointed. That if the helmet is actually shaped like some sort of bullet or something like that.
It's aerodynamic.
Listen, I know every one of those dudes would kick my butt. They would kick my rear if I got out of my car and tried to say something to them because their cardio is so great. Doesn't matter if they weigh 120 pounds.
You ever see their calves?
You'd be a spider monkey on me and just climb all over me and destroy me. I know that you're in fantastic shape, but I feel like you're taking your life in your hands when you're here in the middle of the road. And no matter how fast you go, bro, you're not going faster than 35 miles per hour. So just move over. Get out of the way.
But those calves, so muscular.
Oh, my God. And usually they're like hairless.
I was about to say, it's like the swimmers. I think they shave for the aerodynamic seat.
Is it shaving or is it nair? I don't know. Either way, destroy me, though. That's for sure.
Mm-hmm. Paige, that's all I need to know about you.
If you come into my house and ask me how much things cost, that's all I need to know about you. You know, my pool, my furniture, my TV.
It is a bit offensive, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's weird. Like, the first time somebody asks you how much something costs, you might be a little bit flattered. You're like, oh, yeah, I must have got good value out of that, right? The second time, you're like, are you casing me?
Right.
Like, the third time, I'm like, you know what? I've decided you can't leave here alive. So now, because I have to wonder about when it is that you're going to return to my house. It does get weird.
It's awkward. It's an awkward thing.
It's inappropriate.
But there's some people that have no shame.
Yeah, that's weird.
Greg, that's all I need to know about you.
If you have various aquariums in your backyard, that's all I need to know about you. Why do you have a koi pond?
Maybe they like koi. Very peaceful.
I mean, when I've seen a koi pond, they've been pretty cool.
Lovely.
I'm not gonna lie, but I mean, it is scary to think that there's other aquariums out back of the house. I hope clearly this individual understands fish. I hope he also understands like sun and where it's going to be and when it's positioned. I hate to come home from work one day and they boiled over.
Oh my gosh.
Oh, that'd be terrifying, right?
Yeah.
So Fish are relaxing. They are nice. I can never get the water clean.
No.
Like, I can't balance it.
It's really hard to have, like, the real aquariums in your house.
Yeah.
I've tried because I love, you know, I love fish. I like all things aquariumish. it's a commitment, just like any other pet. Yeah. I used to get so mad at Raven because he used to say that my fish weren't real pets because he had dogs before I had Lila. And I'm like, that's not true. Just because she doesn't have four legs doesn't mean I love her any less. Big guy, my goldfish. I love that guy.
How many goldfish did you have to mourn over the years?
Oh, just because they have short lifespans, their lives don't matter. Goldfish lives don't matter. What are the clothes that your kids wear that you absolutely can't stand? I know for me, I don't like when anything is low cut or it's crop. Like, mm-hmm. Nobody needs to see your belly button. Like, for what? For what?
They're doing that again.
Ugh.
Everybody's belly button is out.
Everybody can see everybody's belly button.
There was a time when your belly button was out, too, that everybody's belly button was out.
It was worse back then because everyone had belly rings. Remember that everyone's belly button was
there? They're not doing that now?
No, I seem to think that's over.
They figured out that it just gets infected.
But they asked a bunch of kids. They did a poll to find out, like, what is it that your parent wears that you find humiliating?
Yeah.
Top thing answers were socks with sandals. Leggings on the school run. Like, I wear leggings all the time. What are you talking about? Isn't that what everybody's supposed to wear?
Right.
Yeah. Or parents that wear Crocs. I've tried to buy Crocs many times, and I think about it now in retrospect after reading this.
Yeah.
And every single time, Hayden's like, no, Ma, that's
don't
the
do
wrong,
it.
No. And she talks me out of it. I didn't realize that she was embarrassed.
Well, I mean, I've told you before, like, I'd be embarrassed as an adult standing next to you with Crocs on. I know that people love them, and I'm not saying it to be hateful. I'm really not. But that's not an acceptable shoe for the public. It's not.
If teenagers can wear it, why can't I? Both my kids wear it.
I think it's cool if, like, the hippie art teacher is wearing them, and that's it.
We asked kids around the office that were here for Bring Your Kids to Work Day, what do their parents wear that they think is embarrassing?
Yeah.
Yeah. Kat was asked about her dad.
Like, wacky shirts that, like, make no sense.
Like what?
Like, random pineapples on his shirt.
That's because he's a swinger.
No, it's not.
Everybody knows that pineapple says that you're a swinger now.
How come every shirt has a pineapple or some kind of small little weird
thing?
Because
there's a lot of swingers out there, and finally it's their apparel time. You didn't know this?
I guess not.
Go on a tropical vacation.
What does your mom wear that embarrasses you? Does she have, like, any clothes that she wears that make you feel embarrassed?
I would say, like, she wears really patterned clothes that are really bright.
Also on this list, pattern bright clothes. Yeah.
So mom's in a good mood. She wears something that's cheery and it makes you mad.
That's why I only wear black. I don't want to embarrass anybody.
So wrong.
What does your mom or dad wear that embarrasses you?
My mom tries to wear my hats and look cool in them, and she doesn't.
That kid sounds 32 years old. All right, come on. That kid sounds 30 years old.
All right, what does your dad wear that embarrasses you?
Well, white shirts make him look like a chubby ghost. Also, weird shirts with designs and short shorts, 5-inch shorts, are really bad.
Hot take right there.
Wow.
White shirts make him look like a chubby ghost.
Chubby ghost. Wow.
And this poor kid, I think, was just confused by the question, but he had his own take on things that were very important that embarrasses him about his mom.
Okay.
Mommy sang to the car too loud.
It doesn't even matter what she's wearing. She's just singing in the car too loud.
It's all embarrassing to me.
He needed to just get that off his chest.
Does your dad ever wear anything silly that makes you feel embarrassed?
Hockey jersey.
Oh, hockey jerseys is a big one. Yeah, grown men wearing jerseys. You know what? I agree with you on that one, buddy. It's embarrassing. It's embarrassing to even say it out loud. And the fact that I have these sitting next to me and I keep looking at them out of the corner of my eye, I feel humiliated by it.
I mean, I don't think you're alone on this. Just this past weekend, my wife was talking to me about her dying flowers. And I was like, can't we just give them water and bring them back to life? And she explained to me they don't come back to life.
Well, they can. So, okay. 24% of Americans can't keep a houseplant alive for 6 months. There are a good percentage of those that say they can't keep them alive for even less than that. I'm one of those people. My family and friends continuously give me houseplants thinking that, I don't know, that they're magically going to stay alive. Every single time, it's like, no, this one's different. You don't really have to do anything. And then without fail, they're dead.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Houseplants are, you know, part of what makes a home a home. Or it used to be anyways. Everybody would have houseplants, right? It creates oxygen. It's supposed to be, you know, good, positive thinking, that type of thing. It's supposed to be good for you in all sorts of ways.
It's a dying art. Literally, it's a dying art because my mom has a green thumb. She prides herself on all these plants. She has plants all over her house, the ones outside. She's got the garden.
Like, yeah.
And she is so proud of it. And every single time she comes to my house, Anna, this one is dead. When was the last time you walked? I'm like, Mommy, I kept the kids alive. Thinking like that some reason like that would give me bonus points.
Deflect.
Right.
Right.
Not so much. Not so much.
No, it's upsetting to them, right? And you know what? I mean, with Alicia's grandparents, they always bring over pieces of their plants. So they've got those plants that grow so much that, you know, they can cut a piece of it off and bring it to somebody else's house, and that plant will grow there, too.
My mom.
Like some sort of network. They keep bringing it over to the house, and they keep dying. And when those die, then they take that, like, personally. It's like they gave up an arm of their child, and then it didn't flourish.
My mom brought this thing called an elephant ear to my house.
Yeah.
She was, Anna, it's going to flourish. She can't say flourish.
It's going to be beautiful.
All right, and this giant leaf that is supposed to happen, right? She cut, like some kind of like doctor of plants. She cut an elephant leaf from her yard and brought it over, took up her entire back seat.
Yeah.
She planted whatever she was supposed to
do. That's a massive leaf, huh?
She gave me such detailed instructions on what to do. And sure enough, she comes over 2 weeks later, the thing is dead. But how?
She completed this transplant and it didn't work out.
So the funny part is I'm looking over at my plants. I have brought three selections from my home, Raven. One was one that was given to me for Mother's Day.
They're really dead.
I told you. It's not a joke.
What's growing out of the bottom of that cactus?
It used to be like moss. It was beautiful when I made it. I wanted to make like succulents. People told me like succulents, you don't have to do anything. They last forever. You just have to water them every few weeks. I'm like, I can do that.
Right.
I can do this. I can't. Look at it.
There's probably bugs in at least one of those. You think that was a good idea bringing that in here?
So we're going to put this all up on Instagram so you can see. Ironically, lately, it's like somebody in the internet world knows that I can't keep plants alive. So I've been targeted on these apps that you take a picture of your plant. It identifies what it is, and then it tells you if it's healthy, if it's not healthy, and exactly what it needs to bring it back to life.
You don't need technology for that. I can tell you that those are not healthy.
Well, maybe not. We've downloaded the app, and we're going to put it to the test. It's coming up next. I'm so excited to do this. 24% of Americans say that they can't keep a houseplant alive for more than 6 months. I'm one of them. I think it's like 3 months, more than that.
I mean, people used to be able to do this, no problem. Everybody would frolic through a garden somewhere. My grandmother used to prune her own plants and whatnot. It was crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody could do it back then.
I brought in three of my houseplants. They're here. We're putting this on Instagram Live right now at Anna and Raven if you want to watch. You guys seemed shocked when I brought these plants in. You thought I was kidding when I say I can't keep plants alive?
I mean, it's absolutely morbid. I have to say, is like there's nothing here. Everything here is a symbol of what has been lost. What came in fruitful and alive and inspiring is now, you know, this.
All right. So there's an app and it's been targeting me for weeks and I've been waiting to do this. It's called Picture This Plant Identifier.
Mm.
It tells you the kind of plant it is and it tells you what's wrong with it. It diagnoses it for you.
Yeah.
So let's take the picture of the first one. Ready? This is one that my sister gave to me for Mother's Day.
Yeah. Okay. Getting the picture right. The app is looking at it. Okay.
All right. This one is just leaning over in sadness.
Mm-hmm.
It's called a dumb cane.
Okay,
this one.
Perfect.
A differentiabachia dumb. It says this plant looks healthy.
Wait a minute. What?
It says this plant looks healthy.
Which one?
This one.
No, it does not.
It says it looks healthy.
It's not supposed to be laying over like that.
Am I the queen of plants?
No. No, you're not the queen of plants. Shoot the other one. Go ahead and take a picture of the next one.
All right, this one is a succulent.
Yeah, it's got a cactus in the middle that looks like it's doing okay. And on the outside, it looks absolutely horrid. It's brown. It's dead. I mean, parts of it are flaking off.
It's called angel's wings. It's a species of prickly pear.
Yeah.
Oh, looks healthy.
Wait a minute. This app isn't doing anything for us. There's no way these plants are healthy.
Wait, maybe we're wrong.
Yeah.
Maybe this is what plants are supposed to look like.
They're supposed to look like. Right. Plants are supposed to be ugly.
Hold on, last one.
Yeah. There's no way. This entire plant is brown. There's not a single standing leaf on this plant.
This one is called a purple Burgonia.
How can it even identify it when it's that dead?
Oh, it says this plant looks very sick.
Yeah. Okay. So what do we do for this plant?
It says your plant has dried out, suggesting it is dormant or dead.
Yeah.
Check for causes.
Okay. Well, I mean.
Not enough water.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Entering dormancy?
Dormancy. It's going dormant.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't know. Does it hibernate?
Maybe it's going to come out like a bear in the spring.
Keep reading. I mean, you did such a good job with the other two, apparently. I'm not sure, but I trust this app.
It says too much fertility in excess of fertilizer can prevent plants from taking up water, leading to dry. Maybe I gave it too much love.
You gave it too much.
That's got to be it. I'm not 100% sure. What are the treatments?
Yeah.
Throw it away.
Yeah. Is that what it says? Wow, that was unexpected. I thought this was supposed to be an app that loves plants. Like, it would be there for plants till the very end.
All right.
It says throw this one away. Like, it doesn't even tell you to try anything.
No, it does. It says scratch the stem with your fingernail.
Okay.
If there's a sign of green inside, there's still a chance. If your plant is dead, it'll be brittle and brown.
Okay.
Let me scratch.
Well, I mean, it looks brittle and brown. No, scratch near the root. You're so mean to it.
It's dead. All right. 1 in 4 Americans can't keep a houseplant alive for more than 6 months, and I'm one of them.
That is sad, man, considering the fact that back in the day, everybody had a green thumb in this country. Seriously, everybody could grow something.
Right. It's a dying art. What else do you think is a dying art? It used to be so commonplace back in the day, and now, not so much. 1-800-330-9999. Jeremy, what's a dying art?
Door-to-door vacuum repair person.
That's true. The vacuum, you remember, they used to come and they would come by and it was unexpected. They would knock on the door and then your father would come home hours later and scream at your mom because she had signed a deal for a $3,000 vacuum cleaner. Like, you remember that, right?
I don't remember that.
Oh my gosh, yeah. It was a thing that happened. So Kirby's and Electrolux, like, I mean, it was a big deal. I honestly think these people still exist.
If you're
unaware, sir, because I just talked to somebody a couple months ago that they were like, yeah, I bought a vacuum. And I was like, what? And it was basically the similar process, but they would come out and fix your vacuum. By the way, those vacuums were like seriously 50 pounds, dragging them from room to room.
It's so funny. Raven, I Googled it.
Yeah.
Kirby, which I've never heard of before, you just said it right now.
Oh my gosh.
Their slogan is still door to door.
Yeah. And I'm telling you, it's a $3,000 vacuum cleaner.
Hold on, let me see. I'm going to go to their website. Yeah. I'm going to go right now.
It's crazy.
Product. Oh yeah, look. Right on the website, it shows the guy coming to the front door.
No, creeper. Get away from my house. I picked you up on my Ring camera and sicked the dogs on you.
This looks like an incredible vacuum. Look at this thing.
Imagine the
amount of things I'm going to suck off the ground and the pet hair.
Let me tell you, your husband is not going to be happy.
It doesn't have a price. I know what that means when it doesn't have a price.
I'm telling you.
Yes. Julia, what's a dying art?
A calligrapher.
Nobody does calligraphy anymore.
But if you want your wedding invites done by a calligrapher, imagine the amount of money they must make.
Wouldn't it just be easier to have them printed? I mean, seriously, just by a computer, right? Just, you know, somewhere a printing machine does the letters in the same old English style that you want your calligrapher to do.
Yeah, but it's different when it's hand done. I remember when I was a kid, I took up calligraphy. I had calligraphy pens and everything, and I was pretty good at it, too. Maybe that should be my side hustle.
Right.
Yeah, I could be a calligrapher again. I wonder if I could do it.
After doing it for 2 days, you'll want to cut your hands off. I mean, you might want to do that, too. Yeah, I knew people that did it back in grade school, too. But, you know, they don't even teach people to write cursive anymore. That's the other thing is, can they truly read it?
Mm. One of my friends, her husband wanted to be romantic for her birthday. So he had bought her like a fancy card and he wanted to do the wax seal on it.
Yes.
I don't know what got into his head about it.
He was feeling very Romeo and Juliet.
Oh my gosh. So all of a sudden I'm at her house and she's opening the gifts and she pulls out the envelope and it looked like a candle had exploded all over it. And I was like, what happened? And he's like, oh, I tried to do the wax seal.
Yeah.
What?
Well, he had to do it, though, because, I mean, at that point, the fancy card already set him back like $30.
Right.
So, I mean, he's got to go all the way at that point.
25% of Americans cannot keep a houseplant alive. It's a dying art.
My wife has to drive 5 towns over to find somebody that will repair her boots. Shoe cobblers. Dying art. No more shoe cobblers out there in the world, Anna.
What else is a dying art? 1-800-330-9999.
Driving stick shift.
Driving stick shift. This is one of our proudest things here as a show. We can both drive stick shift.
My dad would not let me learn how to drive automatic before I learned stick shift, because if we were ever at a party drunk,
right,
and the person that was driving was drunk, I would be able to drive us home.
Smart move in case you needed to escape.
Well, I didn't want to tell my dad at the time, but the real thing I always thought in the back of my head, because I was just so excited to learn how to drive anything, was that if there was a party and people had been drinking, no one was going to look to me to be the one to be the driver to bring us home. But we let that slide.
And Ann Raven, what's an example of a dying art?
Sewing is really a dying art. There's still a lot of people that sew, but younger people don't learn how to sew at all. When I was a kid in home ec, we had sewing.
Yeah, no, I remember the sewing class. And being Portuguese, all our family is either tailors or fishermen. Mm. And you know what? I can't even get my mom to hem a pair of pants anymore. She's given up.
I know. Yeah. And things like matting, I mean, that's really dead.
Yeah, or like the
like
intricate lace.
It's like the lace making.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, this
no,
is gone.
That's dead. That's not dying. It's dead.
Now you go to get like your pants shortened or hemmed, and it's astronomically expensive.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's like $15 and it takes 5 days.
There's been a resurgence, though, through the pandemic because everybody was sewing the masks. So remember, you couldn't get a sewing machine unless for less than like $1,000?
Hey, Rich, what's a dying art?
Meat cutting.
Meat cutting. So, like, you're talking like
a
real butcher?
Yes, sir.
It's true. So if I want to go to a real butcher, there's like one inside of the three neighborhoods around mine, and it is in the oldest part of town. And only the people that are truly committed go, because when you walk in there, it smells like death because it's been a slaughterhouse for a very long time.
Yeah, that's a really good one.
Okay.
Somebody was telling me, they're like, there's this great butcher that's like two towns over. And I was like, yeah, I'm like, for Father's Day or for my husband's birthday, I'm going to go to the butcher. We used to all go to the butcher.
Right.
Actually, that's not true. I never went to the butcher.
Well, nobody does now, though.
Right. Yeah. But Angelica, what's a dying art?
Miming. Like, when's the last time that you've seen a mime? I haven't seen a mime in forever.
They all live in France, I think.
Is that it? That's where they are now at this point?
They're like the red scarves, the black and white shirts, mm-hmm. the painted face, the beret.
I have to agree that the mime is a dying art. Is it because there's been some sort of rope shortage, like the invisible rope shortage or invisible glass shortage? You know, supply chain issues, it's really been a problem for a lot of people. I feel like the mime.
Oh my gosh.
Also closely related, Anna, to the guy who used to dress up like a statue. You know, the person that would dress up like a statue and they'd have the makeup on so they looked like they were some sort of bronzed statue, and then they would just stand there and not move for 3 hours.
Those people live on boardwalks. Everybody knows that.
Well, I just feel like those people aren't out anymore because they feel like they're going to be the victim of random violence. Like, it's just too crazy out there. You feel like you're going to get bonked in the head.
I just Googled mime school.
Yeah.
And there's a place called the School of Modern Mime.
Okay.
It's pantomime-mime.com.
Mm.
Where is it? Where are you, School of Modern Mime?
Nobody needs to know.
It doesn't even say where it is. No, I'm fascinated by it. Oh, there's videos. Oh, God, I hope they're YouTube tutorials on how to be a mime. We know what we're doing for our video today. Yes.
But nobody will explain what they're doing because they're silent.
Oh, my gosh. They haven't broken down classes by centuries. 18th century mime. Who wants to take that class? 19th century miming. 20th century miming. Wow. There's this article about how people are getting more butt lifts and breast implants more than ever because they want to look trendy like the curvy plus size models.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, I have heard that. Certainly, all of a sudden, you'll see a butt that has looked a certain size in photos forever, and now you see it, and you're like, oh, my gosh, there's like a shelf on that thing. So I've always been amazed at the physics that are involved with that.
Dr. Christine Blaine is a board-certified plastic surgeon. You can find her online at blaineplasticsurgery.com. Dr. Blaine, have you seen this at your practice as well?
Absolutely. Most of the time, we see trends in looks in people. More and more people are coming in for what's called a Brazilian butt lift. And what this implies is that you're taking your own fat from your abdomen, your stomach, your side area, your flanks, and your back, and we kind of process it and place it back into the buttocks to give it a more full lifted appearance. And breast implants have always been one of the number one surgeries that we perform, but now people are coming in to get the entire look done.
So wait. You take the fat from like my rolls, like my muffin top, I mean, and then you make my butt bigger? That's how it works?
You are taking the words right out of my mouth. Like, wait a minute. I mean, that sounds like an amazing displacement procedure here.
I know you're a board certified plastic surgeon. Like, what does that mean? Because obviously you know how to do this for real and safely.
So to be a board certified plastic surgeon, you have to go through your 4 years of medical school. Then you have to go through what's called the match, where you have to get interviewed by programs. Programs interview you. You pick programs. They pick you. And you go to a program that specializes in plastic surgery. Now it's all combined programs, or you have to do general surgery first, and then you do 3 years of plastics after. So it's a minimum of 6 to 7 years of training after medical school. So we try and stress, as a board-certified plastic surgeon, to ensure that our patients are safe and find someone who is board-certified.
Doctor, when you hear the term junk in the trunk, what's the first thing you think of?
Some people have been arrested for putting Fix-A-Flat into people's butts.
What's Fix-A-Flat?
It's like you get a flat tire.
Yeah.
And you pull over and you picked it up at like Napa or Advanced Auto Parts or something like that. And you hook it up to your tire and it sprays glue and air into the tire.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. And then you're able to drive to the gas station. Oh. Like in this case, you're able to go to South Beach.
Mm-hmm. All right. Dr. Blaine, we do this thing called the speed round. These are all questions we randomly want to ask a plastic surgeon. You cool with it?
Sure.
All right. We fire them really fast. Answer as quickly as you can. Ear surgery. I saw that you have that on your website. Does everyone eventually regret getting gauges?
I don't think so. Some people have them forever, but as you age, your earlobes get bigger anyway. Mm. So to fix a gauged ear, it's not a big deal. You just treat it as a big hole.
I heard that the number one Photoshop thing from Kim Jong-un of North Korea is his ears. He's very sensitive about his earlobe size.
Wow.
What poisonous creature, doctor, could I keep in a jar and use instead of Botox for a little lift when I needed it?
Oh, no poisonous creature. Botox comes from plants.
Just a puffer fish.
Don't lick salamanders. It doesn't work.
All right. Under my chin, Dr. Blaine, it's starting to get a little saggy. I think I have a case of turkey neck. Do you have any sorcery to fix that?
Not so much sorcery, but what is really important is that you start maintaining your skin earlier than people have in the past.
Now that you're 40, you're screwed.
Thanks.
What is the best surgery to do in a motel room?
None.
Right? None. What kind of answer question is that?
None.
Dr. Blaine, as a fellow mommy, I know you have three little ones. What's the number one thing moms come to you for?
A lot of Botox and filler injections. That's usually what we call the gateway. Then people come for mommy makeovers when they're done having their children. This can entail either breasts and bellies, things to that effect, tummy tucks, or just liposuction, breast augmentation or breast reduction or lift.
Dr. Christine Blaine, you can find her online at blaineplasticsurgery.com. Thank you, Dr. Blaine.
Thank you.
If you've been a little confused about what exactly the FBI was looking for when they searched former President Donald Trump's Mar-a-Lago resort, you're not alone because there's like a lot of back and forth. But there was this in the news about what was seized.
And a total of 27 boxes were taken. In them, 11 sets of classified documents, including some that are top secret. The FBI also removed binders of photos, a handwritten note, the executive grant of clemency for Roger Stone, and information about the president of France.
Okay, so I still don't know. I still have no idea. I'm like, all right. So I thought that they were looking for the nuclear code.
Yeah.
That was the rumor, was like that he was keeping the nuclear code there somewhere.
I mean, here's the thing, though, right? Wouldn't they change the codes? I mean, we have to update passwords every 90 days on my bank account. They change a presidency. I'm guessing that they have to change the codes.
So I started Googling and trying to research and trying to figure it out.
Mm.
So I found out, and I don't know if you know this, but I was fascinated by this.
Yeah.
The gold codes are the launch codes for nuclear weapons, and they're provided to the president of the United States. Okay,
okay.
Right?
Right.
Now, the gold codes are arranged in a column and printed on a plastic card nicknamed the Biscuit.
The Biscuit.
So there's like an actual credit card that has the codes on it to start to just launch these nuclear things, and it's called the Biscuit. I'm like, wait a minute.
I mean,
were they looking for the Biscuit?
Watch a spy movie. Nothing. If I've got the Biscuit, I'm keeping it as a souvenir if I was president. I'm keeping it.
Were they looking at Mar-a-Lago? Were they looking for the Biscuit?
I don't know what they were looking for.
Where do
man.
You keep the Biscuit?
Yeah.
Let's say like you're done. You finished your term. You move on with your life. Now you've got this Biscuit that's got these codes on it.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know if they've been updated or not. We're not aware.
I mean, we all have our own Biscuit, don't we? I mean, we all have codes and things that we need to keep safe. So it's your Biscuit. You have the Biscuit.
I have the Biscuit.
Yeah. Where are you going to keep that Biscuit?
I don't know. Because I was trying to figure it out. I'm like, where do I hide the biscuit that's got these codes on it? The most important thing in the whole world that belongs to me. And all I kept thinking is like, probably my underwear drawer, right?
right. Because nobody would look there.
Nobody
has ever thought to hide anything there before.
I keep the most obscure things in my underwear drawer. Yeah. Like I have like a greeting card that I got that meant a lot to me one time that I didn't really know what to do with it.
Super sweet.
I was like, I'll put this in my underwear drawer.
Right. I got
one time for Halloween, I went to Salem, Massachusetts. Remember I went to go see the witches?
Yes, I do. You came back with rocks and crystals and spells.
I have a crystal in there that's supposed to be magic. I keep that in my underwear drawer. So if I'm going to have like a biscuit that's got these nuclear codes, I'm like, I guess it goes next to the magic rock.
Yeah. You know? Right. What a good idea. And the card, that was very thoughtful, right?
Mm-hmm. Where do you put your biscuit?
Well, I mean, my biscuit is kind of my phone at this point, right? So it's all my codes are on my phone, but I couldn't get into my irrigation app today. So, I mean, they change and they need to be updated. And sometimes I have to text my wife for them. I have a safe, but then I always like misplace the key. Then I'm like, oh, how do I get into my safe? So, I mean, I've got multiple places. I'm also getting to that point now where I'm hiding things. And when I hide something, I'm like, what a great idea that is.
Yeah.
And then I can't find it. So that's me now. I'm the person who's putting cash in their sofa, and someday you're going to find $50,000 in my back, like, you know, pillow pad.
I know you so well, Raven,
that
if you're going to hide your biscuit, let's say you have the biscuit and we're going to search your house.
Yes.
I'm looking in the garage. I'm going to find it somewhere hidden in the garage.
Let me tell you something. If it's hidden in the garage, you will never find it. You better just check my underwear drawer.
Okay.
Couples Court on the Anna and Raven Show.
Every day a couple joins us, they let us know what their disagreement is about, and then you decide who's right. Bill and Katie. Katie, let's start with you. What's going on?
Yeah, so my husband told me that he's so sick of politics that he's just decided that he's going to quit voting, which I think is absolutely ridiculous. You can't just, you know, absolve yourself of the responsibility to vote.
Bill, is that true?
Yes, it is true. And I can absolve myself. I'm over it. I'm over it. nothing happens the way we want it, even when the vote goes our way. No, thank you.
You know what? I mean, I never thought that I would say this, but over the last like year or two, there's been a part of me that's kind of felt that way on certain things, too. I live in an area where the votes are pretty much decided. Like the region pretty much leans one way historically. It's always been that way. And if I disagree, I feel like my vote goes nowhere. And, you know, the thing is even when I get somebody that I believe in, if they get in there, they don't do what they say they're going to do. It's true.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? And so, and then I don't know what's worse, that getting my hopes up and them not doing anything, or the people around me getting all hyped up and talking like they're going to do something.
Raven, you got to be living on a prayer.
If
we give up hope and we stop voting, like that's kind of just giving in to the madness. I understand and I agree with everything you're saying. I feel like at this point it's yelling one over the other, and it just makes me sad because you want everybody just to work together. Like the way I think of it is like when you work for a company, you all work for the greater good. So why can't we all work together for the greater good? But clearly that's not the environment that we live in.
It's crazy, right? Like everybody seems to be out for their own brand today. Is there any difference between like a TikTok star and a politician now?
I don't know, but it doesn't matter.
Not enough.
Like you have to vote, right? You have to.
No, I don't. I don't care if it's the comptroller.
Well, let me ask you something. Do you guys typically vote the same way, or are you sometimes on opposing sides?
I would say, you know, most of the time we agree, but there are those few times where he's wrong. Mm.
So
wrong. It's my vote. How is my vote wrong? See, and this is why we don't vote.
Yeah. Right, guys, doesn't want to vote anyway.
Well, right. Sometimes in the couple, there is certainly one that is more of the persuasive one, right? Like I'm going to be the one who tries to, you know, persuade your vote or pull you over here. And sometimes the other person is easily swayed because they're like, oh, well, we're a team and in other couples, that person immediately digs in.
Okay, yeah, look at my husband and I. We're on opposite sides.
Right.
I have to vote because I have to cancel his vote.
Right.
Everybody
right.
knows that.
By the way, Anna didn't find out she was on the other side until about 10 minutes ago. And
true.
They've been married 13 years.
I went to
17 years?
17 years. True story. We went to a primary and I was looking for his name on the list and his name wasn't there. So I went home and I'm like, hey, did you vote today? He's like, no. And I go, why? And he was like, oh, because I'm not that side. And I was like, what?
Right.
I don't know. Maybe you agree with Bill. If he doesn't want to vote, he doesn't have to vote. It's his right as an American to make that decision. But you may see Katie's side, too. Like, what are you doing, Bill? Like, you can't give up hope. You have to keep showing up and voting and hope that things progress.
1-800-330-9999. Whose side are you on? It's the Couples Court with Anna and Raven.
Your spouse comes home and declares, you know what? I've had it. I don't care whose side you're on anymore or whose side I'm on. I'm not voting anymore. It doesn't matter. Politics are all a scam. What do you say? Do you disagree with them? Like, all right, yeah, you don't want to vote? Don't vote.
Katie got fired up. Katie says, you have to absolutely vote. Bill says, I'm not voting anymore. It's just a waste of my time. It doesn't matter. I've voted and I've lost. I've voted and I've won. And guess what? The results are the same. Nobody's doing anything for me. So I'm just not going to give it up the headspace anymore. I kind of understand.
Right. But she's like really mad by it. And she wants people to say like, no, you have to vote. That's your job as an American. Checking our text line at 1-800-330-9999. Hi, this is James. I'm on her side. Sitting out in elections does not punish the politicians. It does nothing whatsoever. I mean, you don't show up, you don't show up.
I mean, it's philosophically you're correct, but, you know, at the same time, again, is the result the same?
Another text says, I'm on his side. They are selections, not elections. They are selections, not elections.
Well, you have to select to elect somebody. So you get, again, you're going...
I think they were trying to be deep, but I'm just confused, right?
Don't talk yourself into a corner.
All right. Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999, Couples Court. What if your spouse came home and said, you know what? I'm so sick of all the politics and the nonsense going on that I'm just not going to vote anymore. How would you react to that? It's exactly what happened to Katie. Bill, her husband, came home and said, I'm done. No more voting. I'm out. I'm sick of this.
It's primary season. She was all fired up, thought this is our chance to make a difference. Bill said, there's no difference made no matter what, no matter what happens, no matter who I vote for. I'm not doing it anymore.
What do you think? Is he wrong to just give up voting altogether? 1-800-330-9999. Whose side are you on? Couples Court.
The females, because whatever you think, men fought and died for this country for our right to vote. That's the bottom line.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. Whose side are you on?
I am totally on the husband's side. Although we should vote. No one should be forced to vote. This is why we live in America. It's a free country. So I am on the husband's side.
The verdict is in. Jury foreman, what are the results?
Katie, our audience agreed with you today. Bill, you got to vote. I mean, there's no one's going to say don't vote. You have to go vote.
Nope. I'm not rocking the vote.
Well, you know, we can't force you.
I mean, how can you say that? Like, how can you just absolve yourself again of the responsibility to do that and make sure that your voice is heard? I just think it's foolish.
You know, I'm curious, though, Bill, do you get less caught up in the media and the complaining, though, now that you've decided that you're not going to vote? Are you bothered less by it?
I am, because I just don't care anymore. Yeah. It does not matter. It's one less stress in my life.
You know, I mean, again, he's not letting it live in his head rent free.
Mm-hmm.
He's saying no. Yeah. I don't know.
Got bigger things to worry about, like our gas bill.
Yeah, like real life. No, I understand. Well, Katie, good luck. You're dealing with a person. He's an anarchist now. He's an anarchist.
All right. He's going to be living off the grid soon. All right, you have a problem too, send an email. couplescore@annaandraven.com.
I would too. I know you were about to say it, Bill. I'll meet you there.
Free Bill.
Can't beat Raven.
The Can't Beat Raven cash jackpot is $1,600 thanks to DoorDash. Shine bright this summer with Dash Pass by DoorDash. Get more member-only perks and discounts than ever before. Sign up now with promo code ORDER50 for 50% off your first order up to $15 value. Chris, you ready to play?
I'm ready to play.
Can you please ask Raven to leave the room?
Raven, can you please leave the room?
Sure. Good luck, Chris.
Okay.
Thanks.
$1,600 on the line. Raven's walking out of here. When that door closes, he can't hear us. We're in a soundproof studio. I'm going to ask you 5 pop culture questions. You have 3 seconds to answer each one. I'll bring him back in, ask him the same questions. Whoever gets the most right wins. Ties go to Raven. You ready to go?
Yes.
Number one, Megan Thee Stallion made fun of Kim Kardashian's new earbuds, saying they look like organic eggs. What company owns Beats by Dre?
I believe that's Apple.
Number two, The Simpsons teased that season 34 will reveal how the show can seemingly predict the future. What is the name of The Simpsons' dog?
Santa's Little Helper.
Number three, Modern Family is trending because people are voicing which sitcom they think is the best of all time. In Modern Family, Phil is a real estate agent, and he has a shop based on his hobby. What is it?
Shoe collecting? I don't know.
Number four, Ellen DeGeneres is the latest to have her HBO Max animated series Little Ellen canceled. What was the name of the fish that Ellen voiced in Finding Nemo and eventually had her own sequel?
Dory.
And number five, Amazon's League of Their Own Modern Makeover premiered. Nick Offerman plays the disgraced star turned manager. Who had that role in the original?
Tom Hanks.
Okay. That was great. Let me bring Raven back in.
Yo.
Chris did great. He got 4 out of 5.
Wow, Chris. $1,600. Let's see how I do.
Number one, Megan Thee Stallion made fun of Kim Kardashian's new earbuds, saying she thought they were organic eggs. What company owns Beats by Dre?
It's Apple.
Number two, The Simpsons tease season 34 will reveal how the show can seemingly predict the future. What is the name of The Simpsons' dog?
Santa's Little Helper.
Number three, Modern Family is trending because people are voicing which sitcom they think is the best of all time. In Modern Family, Phil is a real estate agent, and he has a shop based on his hobby. What is it?
I have no idea.
Magic. He's a magic shop.
Yeah.
Okay, you need these other two to tie. Number four, Ellen DeGeneres is the latest to have her HBO Max animated series Little Ellen canceled. What was the name of the fish that Ellen voiced in Finding Nemo that eventually had her own sequel?
She was Dory.
Yes. You need this last one to tie, otherwise $1,600 goes to Chris. Number five, Amazon's League of Their Own Modern Makeover premiered. Nick Offerman plays the disgraced star turned manager. Who had that role in the original?
Tom Hanks.
All right, Chris, I'm sorry. You guys tied at 4. That's going to get you an Anna and Raven t-shirt.
Oh, man. You had me nervous there. Mm-hmm. Had me nervous at the end.
So close.
Yeah.
It's Chris, and I can't be Raven.
Better luck next time. So close on that one. I was nervous going into question 5.
No, I knew it. I wanted him to get magic so badly, and I knew that you would go down. All right, if you want to sign up to play 2, head to annaandraven.com. Click on Can't Beat Raven.
$1,700 tomorrow.